inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Sometimes when you buy a rental property, you might go into it thinking you're going to own that property forever, but the truth is, sometimes things change. Maybe something has changed personally, or maybe the market's changed, or the neighborhood has changed. And sometimes it might make sense to sell off some properties and maybe buy something else. And that's exactly what my guest today did. He bought some properties. They were all in the same neighborhood. And the numbers just weren't working out to what he had projected. He just wasn't making the kind of return he had hoped for. So he ended up selling those properties, and he bought properties in a different neighborhood, and they're working out a lot better. So I want to see what we can learn from him today. Joining us on the podcast today from Atlanta is Adam Alion. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds and we'll meet Adam.
Are you looking for a roadmap to financial freedom? If so, we have a solution for you. Narada Real Estate is offering a limited number of free strategy sessions to help you get out of the rat race. Learn how you can create wealth and build monthly passive income. To set up a time with one of our knowledgeable investment counselors, simply go to naradarealestate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.
So, Adam, how did you first get interested in owning rental properties?
Well, it started back in the recessionary period that we went through. I got started in real estate when I was, I think, 19 at the time. And at the time, we were working pretty heavily with foreclosures and bank properties, representing banks in the foreclosure crisis. And, got to working with investors, started to see, them be successful in real estate investment, and started to realize, these properties are being sold so inexpensively, and the returns are just so phenomenal. That I couldn't sit by the sidelines and just watch them create wealth. It was, something I had to get into early on. And, so I, at the time, was living in my parents' basement in college, saving up money to purchase my first property. And, I ended up buying a property in downtown Atlanta in a city called East Point. And it was about, I think, $15,000 to $16,000 for a duplex. It was four-sided brick built in like the 60s. Needed, $15,000, $20,000 worth of work. But, I knew each unit would easily rent for $550 a month. And, thought, in a few years, this property will pay for itself. And it really was just a no-brainer at the time.
You know what's, I think, great about your story is you were so young. You said you were 19 when you bought that property.
Right.
That's that's incredible to be taking action at such a young age. Have you always been entrepreneurial?
I'd say so. That's something, my father's, been in real estate for 40 years now, I believe. My grandfather was in real estate. It's really all we know.
Yeah. So you grew up around it, and it just seemed normal to you to buy a property, which I think is a huge advantage, because for a lot of people, if they didn't grow up around it, it mm-hmm. seems kind of weird to own a house, but like it's not once you surround yourself with people that are doing it and doing it successfully. So I think that's great.
Exactly.
So you had some awesome mentors. And so you bought that property. Were you able to get financing on that, or did you pay cash because it was such a cheap house?
Yeah, at the time, lending was pretty tight, and it wasn't anything I financed. No, it was a cash purchase.
Okay.
Later on I started, getting into the higher price points where lending's more available.
Yeah.
I utilized other forms of financing like crowdfunding and hard money loans. But at the point where I'm at today is, I try to stay away from the hard money loans or the crowdfunding just due to the high costs.
Sure.
We're more credit worthy borrowers now, and able to get attractive financing. you know, it's not something we're really needing at the moment for, right, you know, hard money.
So that house was $15,000.
Right. And correct. It was, you know, a giveaway. I thought.
Totally. And what did it need a lot of work? I mean, it sounds like at that price, that's probably a fixer-upper, right?
It was. I mean, it needed a roof. It needed, you know, some electrical work, cosmetics. At the time, I didn't really know much about construction and, you know, tried to do, you know, the GC work, general contracting myself, and hired a bunch of subs and somewhat piecemealed the rehab together. And, I quickly learned how stressful and time consuming that was.
Sure.
And, how difficult it can be to find reliable, reputable contractors, yep, to do work. So it took a while to renovate, but, the contractors were just, I guess that was I learned at that time that, geez, I'm not meant for construction.
Yeah.
I know how to sell real estate. I don't know how to renovate a house. My time's more valuable selling or buying real estate for investment, not fixing up houses.
Right.
So, you know,
absolutely,
that was my wake up call to say, hey, I just need to hire someone to do it right.
Yeah.
Call me when it's done.
That's a great lesson to learn, because it's definitely worth it, in my opinion, and it sounds like yours too, to pay a professional to get it done. I mean, that's not
right.
The highest and best use of our time. So how much did it cost total to fix that property up? Or how much were you all in?
It was about $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay.
You know, it needed a roof. You know, it needed some electrical. I think one of the AC systems needed replacement. Actually, it might have been both of the ACs were missing. It was one of those types of properties where back at that time, the AC units down in Atlanta were just disappearing.
Right.
So we had to put cages on them and such. But, it was about $15,000 to $20,000.
Okay. So you're all in somewhere $30,000 to $35,000?
Right.
Okay. Awesome. And then you got that place eventually fixed up. You got it rented out. Everything was going great. And then you ended up buying two more properties on that same street?
Yeah. You know, I knew the area. I knew what the rents would be. I knew what a good price was. You know, and having that knowledge reduced my risk, or at least, you know, my comfort level was much better, knowing what I was getting myself involved in. I knew it was a property that would require a high level of management. And, at that time it was, you know, also good prices on the other two properties. I somewhat used the comp on the one I purchased to get a good price on the other two. And, but those, I did it in a different way. I hired a GC to handle the whole project. You know, the rehab turned out nice and easy and simple. They rented quickly, you know, and then at the time, this was maybe a year or two later after, I had purchased the first one, you know, I started to sell them off and, kept the second and third properties probably only a year before selling them. Whereas the first one I had to keep 2 or 3 years before the market really turned around.
So this neighborhood, you said that this property, you knew it was going to be management intensive. Was this
right.
in a rougher neighborhood or a rougher part of Atlanta?
I wouldn't put it as rough, but, you know, it was highly distressed when I purchased, you know, probably I'd say about 20% to 30% of the homes were boarded up.
Okay.
You know, so it was, you know, a slightly higher distressed neighborhood.
Sure.
But people were still living there. It was close into the city. The city of East Point's got a separate municipality than the city of Atlanta. And while they're, you know, I'd say they're code enforcement and their building department's a little bit more difficult to deal with. You know, it's a better managed community than the city of Atlanta, in my opinion.
Coming up on the Rental Income Podcast.
I want to get some more details on exactly what went wrong and why Adam sold his properties And I want to hear more about the properties that he ended up buying. But first, I want to take a quick second and thank our sponsor today, MyLandlordHelper.com. My Landlord Helper is the sweet spot between managing your properties yourself and having an expensive property manager. They can take care of a lot of the tedious tasks like dealing with phone calls, collecting rent, chasing down tenants for late rent, sending out legal notices. Basically, they offer seamless communication between the tenant and them so that you don't have to get involved with a lot of the tedious tasks that come up when you manage a rental property. Whether you are not happy with your current manager or you're sick of doing it yourself, you should definitely check out MyLandlordHelper.com. They help over 232 landlords. They manage over 8,000 properties, and they really do a good job, and they probably do it a lot cheaper than what you're paying right now. They're offering a free 30-day trial so you can try out the service, or if you want to set up a time to talk to them to hear more about what they do and to see if they are a good fit for you, you can schedule a phone call right there on their website. Just go to MyLandlordHelper.com and you can find out more. That's MyLandlordHelper.com. And thank you so much for sponsoring the show. I really appreciate it. All right, let's get back to the show here. So, Adam, speaking of management, when you bought the lower end properties, you thought they were probably going to be management intensive. Did it work out that way? Did it end up being a lot more work than you thought it was going to be?
It did, you know, and my father, I think, told me probably going into it what I was, you know, going to be dealing with. And, you know, it turned out he was right. You know, it was, you know, the tenants were more difficult to manage. There was higher turnover, you know, more evictions, more late notices. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I probably went through, you know, three evictions before I said, you know, this is enough. You know, wow. Having to go to the Fulton County Magistrate Court and deal with it, it's just too much hassle.
Sure. Three evictions in what period of time?
Probably a year.
Wow.
A year and a
that
half.
Is incredible.
You know, and that's, you know, granted they paid for quite a while, you know, maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, overall, even with that many evictions, it was still a, you know, highly performing property on paper.
Yeah. I mean, because you were in these houses for not much money, $35,000, $40,000. And you said they were renting for about $1,150.
Yeah. $550 a unit.
Okay. So, I mean, that's incredible numbers on paper. But how right. did it actually end up working out when you account for the eviction and the vacancy? And I'm sure you probably had to fix the properties up. Did you make much of a profit on it when it was all said
and
done?
Yeah, I would say they were profitable. You know, and we probably, you know, I'd say we probably netted, you know, probably 8 to 10 per year on each property.
Eight to 10,000?
Right, in
okay.
rent.
So okay, after and expenses, so that's after everything.
Right?
Okay.
So it's still profitable.
Yeah, it's still pretty good.
It's just, you know, nerve-wracking, I guess you would say,
yeah.
having to deal with it.
But, you know, I think the only reason it was profitable was because you were able to buy them at such a cheap price. I mean, if you know, so you're pretty close to the 3% rule on these mm-hmm. properties, right? So, where, you know, for anyone that doesn't know what it means, a lot of times when someone's evaluating a property, they'll use the 1% rule. So if a property is going to mm-hmm. cost $100,000, they'll rent, or if a property is going to rent for $1,000, they'll want to buy it for $100,000. So
right.
that's 1% of the rent is 1% of the price. But in your case, you had a lot of margin there
mm-hmm.
because you brought the properties so cheap and the rent was
right.
pretty high. Now, I think that's a good lesson because if somebody was going into this market thinking, okay, well, I'm going to use the 1% rule, they're going to lose their shirt, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
you just can't make any money.
Right. I mean, the yields definitely have been, you know, reduced significantly as the prices have come up. You know, there's still, I'd say, attractive rental property out there. It's just a lot harder to find.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard for me to even go in and buy some of the properties today, even at market or even below market today is, you know, 2 to 3 times more than what I was accustomed to paying a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, it's hard for me to pay today's prices right. knowing where we were. But, you know, granted, we probably won't be there anytime soon in the future. So it's, you know, I wouldn't sit on the sidelines for too long, but, you know, the prices, in, at least in single family here in Atlanta, I think are at a point where it's questionably, you know, not as enticing as it once was.
Sure.
Especially like if you're getting into the market today without knowing how inexpensive the houses were here during the recession, you know, you might not have the same mindset as someone like me.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, right. Yeah. You've seen the lower prices. So
right.
what happened? Did you wake up one day and just say, you know what, this just is not worth the hassle. There's just too many evictions, too many trouble with these properties. I just want to get rid of them.
Pretty much, you know, I was finding attractive prices and yields in other parts of town, and the property prices had come up enough to the point where I could sell and reinvest the money elsewhere and find mm-hmm. you know, similar yields without the hassle.
So, what did you end up selling the properties for?
I think the first one I sold for around 60.
Oh, wow.
The other two that I purchased on that street, you know, sold for around 70 or 80. They were more nicely renovated. And I sold those a year or two after the first one.
That's great. So, I mean, you had good cash flow owning the properties and then you mm-hmm. sold them and you made a really good return. That's
yep.
really awesome. Congratulations.
Now, thank you.
So
thank you.
What did you move into a higher end neighborhood after this?
Slightly, you know,
okay.
I purchased a property out in Dallas for, I think, 50, 55.
This is Dallas, you know, Georgia, right?
Dallas, Georgia,
okay.
Not Texas.
Yeah.
You know, then we purchased a property up in Canton, which is a northern suburb of Atlanta, which is, you know, it's further out, but still accessible to the city.
And are you finding you get a higher quality tenant in those areas?
I would say so.
Okay.
You know, their credit worthiness is better. You know, the incomes are higher. You know, with the exception of it being further from Atlanta and you getting fewer tenants that, you know, make the commute, you know, there's still jobs in Canton and further up into North Atlanta to where, you know, people are looking for housing there. You know, it's not so rural that, you know, the prices, you know, are low due to the inability to access jobs.
And you're not finding you're having to evict tenants in these areas? You're not having a lot of management?
You know, there's a few occurrences where they're late and, you know, we have to send out late notices or eviction notices and, you know, but nothing near as bad. I haven't had to do an eviction, you know, in the, you know, areas where the tenants are probably easier to manage.
So what about the returns? Are the returns lower in this next batch of houses that you have?
Slightly. You know,
okay.
I'd say they're, you know, somewhere between 8% and 15%.
Okay.
You know, where the duplexes were probably 20+.
Okay.
Rates of return.
So what are you paying for the houses you're buying now?
Yeah, it depends on what part of town you're in, but yeah, I try to keep my properties to be about at minimum $500 to $600 net per month
after everything,
after all expenses, the mortgage is paid. You know, if I'm not making $500 to $600 a month, I pass on the deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, I think that you've got a really interesting story. I think it's a good lesson that I think a lot of people can take, that a lot of times these rougher neighborhoods or the lower end neighborhoods, that they look great on paper, but they don't mm-hmm. actually work out that way. And so I think that that your story is a great cautionary tale. Would you tell people to maybe avoid those areas?
Not necessarily. I think it depends on, you know, the person's personality, how mm-hmm. involved they want to be. You know, if they're more of a absentee landlord, you know, it's definitely not that type of property you want to go into.
You know,
it's definitely something you would want property management on, just due to the fact that, you know, it's just going to run you dry and you're going to get frustrated if you're trying to do it yourself.
I agree with you 100%. We've had a lot of people on the podcast that specialize in lower end neighborhoods, and mm-hmm. they do really well, but I think it's because they're really involved and they're managing them very, very closely, where if you want to be more hands off and you want to be more passive, you're probably mm-hmm. better off going to an upper end neighborhood. So yeah, I agree. It's all kind of what you're looking for. Well, Adam, if someone wants to reach out to you, tell us where they can find you online.
Well, you can go to our website. It's location.com, which, you know, is awesome. The motto we follow.
That's an awesome website.
Thank you.
Was that hard to get?
My father's had it since, you know, the early 90s.
Wow.
And, I think he thinks it's his retirement fund. But, you know, it's been in the family quite a while, and it's definitely something that we're known for.
Yeah.
So at location.com or Adam at location.
And if anyone's looking to buy rentals in the Atlanta area, you'd be happy to help them out.
We'd be happy to. You know, a lot of investors call us, you know, wanting advice, and, you know, we offer free advice. And, you know, I really get discouraged when, you know, a client or an investor that, you know, calls us, tells us they just spent, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 on a course that, you know, we could probably give the same level of advice at no cost.
Right.
And we coach and, you know, help investors grow wealth in real estate. That's what we stand for, and that's what we do every day.
Yeah, Atlanta is a great cash flowing market. If anyone is mm-hmm. is looking to invest down there, Adam is definitely your guy. Well, Adam, I will go ahead and put all your information on the website if anyone wants to look it up. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for coming
welcome.
On the show.
Thank you very much, Dan. We'll talk soon.
You can look up Adam's email address or website at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 141. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. Make sure you hit that subscribe button on the podcast app that you're listening to us on, and you'll get our shows delivered automatically every single Tuesday. I want to thank our sponsors today, Narada Real Estate and MyLandlordHelper.com. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next Tuesday.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.